Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Recovery efforts are underway in the wake of Hurricane Irene. The Lockerbie bomber is reported to be near death. And a Portland man is arrested outside a grocery store wearing only underwear.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves, for this is Legion of News!
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, August 29th, 2011. The man convicted of the 1988 Lockerbie bombing is comatose, near death, and likely to take the secrets of the attack on Pan Am Flight 103 to his grave.
Hooray!
According to CNN. This past weekend, the news network tracked down Abdel Basset al-Megrahi, who was released from a Scottish prison in 2009 and returned to Libya after doctors who had been treating him for prostate cancer gave him 3 months to live.
Sounds like it was really hard to find him, too, since he can't move.
I do like it, though, when somebody is, he only has 3 months to live, they said, in 2009.
Yeah.
But al-Megrahi beat his doctor's predictions many times over, something that, combined with his hero's welcome he received on his return to Libya, angered many in the West. The fall of Muammar Gaddafi's regime recalled news for him to be deported from Libya and returned to jail, but Libya's interim government said Sunday they had no plans to do so. Al-Megrahi has been judged once and he will not be judged again, said the National Transitional Council Minister. We do not hand over Libyan citizens. Gaddafi does.
In my country, cancer beats you.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work either.
Yeah. According to the CNN report, the so-called Lockerbie bomber now appears close to succumbing to the prostate cancer.
The so-called Lockerbie bomber, what does that mean?
Well, that's, I don't know. He was convicted of it, so I guess he is the Lockerbie bomber.
That's like saying, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Dawn Taylor, so-called bipedal carbon-based life form.
Anyway, he appears to be close to succumbing to the prostate cancer. He's under the care of his family in a palatial Tripoli villa where he survives on oxygen and an intravenous drip. His family claims that since the rebels overtook Tripoli, the care has been left to them. Nobody gives us any advice. There is no doctor. There is no one to ask. We don't have a phone line to call anyone. So apparently they're sad.
I'm attempting to care, and it's just, it's not coming together for me.
Anyway, yeah, apparently he's finally about to, eat it.
All right, you can tell he's a bat. How old is he?
I have no idea, but the bombing was in 1988.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fair piece of time ago, as they say. So he's got to be somewhat aged, I would imagine. You can tell that he's guilty because he lived a long life. That's how you know he's a bad guy, because bad people always live forever. Good people always get snuffed, right out of the gate.
Yeah, it's sort of the Cheney syndrome. It's
they
stay alive just through sheer power of evil.
That's what it is. It's just that their visage is so completely sinister that even the Reaper of Death will not approach them. So,
cancer just doesn't want to be in there.
If you're a jackass, you just sort of, you will just sort of live through time immemorial. You're listening to Legion of News, and good afternoon to you. It is Monday, August 29th, 2008. and 11. Thank you for joining us here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up later on this hour, your entertainment news, also Science on the March. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. You can also take it with you on your mobile device if you'd like. That is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile or mobile if you are British or continental in some way. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
A Portland man was arrested Saturday morning after police found him standing outside a grocery store wearing only underwear. Spokesperson Sergeant Pete Simpson said 48-year-old Eric Foote, and we have a photo of him, by the way. He's an attractive, attractive man.
Oh, is he the yellow beard looking guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
48-year-old Eric Foote was arrested on 3 outstanding warrants, 2 for indecent exposure. Simpson said a concerned citizen called 911 to report Foote was disturbing the peace in the 6400 block of North Interstate by standing outside with only underwear on and a T-shirt wrapped around his head. I used to live in that neighborhood, by the way. That doesn't sound unusual,
no, frankly.
Foote was booked into Multnomah County Jail around noon.
You'll be able to see this, you know, not like now, but later, at rickemerson.com/pictures. Visual aids for August 29th. That'll be up later, whenever the internet feels like cooperating. Not now, but in a time that is after now.
Okay.
In the future.
Right. What's left of Hurricane Irene crossed into Canada overnight, but that doesn't mean the East Coast is in the free and clear. In addition to the extensive cleanup that will need to take place up and down the Atlantic coast, a number of states are also facing the possibility of worsening flooding, particularly in Vermont, where Governor Pete Shumlin said the state has a full-blown flooding catastrophe on our hands. According to the Weather Channel, many rivers won't crest until later Monday, meaning things could get worse before they get better for some areas of the country. Meanwhile, the current confirmed death toll from Irene has reached 25, according to the Associated Press. The estimates of the economic damage done by the storm also continues to climb. ABC News reports the storm did between $7 billion and $13 billion in damage.
I don't mean to make light of this or to diminish the loss of 25 people, but here's how you can tell that we're living in the right place. This is how you know manifest destiny is the way to go. Because every time there's an earthquake in Haiti, it's like 9 million people die. Or, you know, there was a, you know, like some minor tremor or a flood or whatever in India, and like half the joint just gets killed outright. And here, huge flooding, the worst flooding we've had on the East Coast in decades. The first time New York has ever been evacuated, and it's a death toll of 25 people.
Yeah, I'm reading, and again, not to make light of this, but I'm reading Facebook posts from friends who live on the East Coast, and they're like, you know, things like, still no electricity, have to eat all the pork chops right now.
Must consist of, diet consists of Funyuns and soda for second day. Oh, the agony.
Have camp stove and Campari and soda, so we'll be fine.
Am having to live like inner city ghetto person. Hate self.
Recovery efforts are, of course, underway in the states of in the Northeast. Speaking at a White House press conference Sunday, President Barack Obama commends Americans for banding together to help one another.
The past few days have been a shining example of how Americans open our homes and our hearts to those in need and pull together in tough times.
Obama says the cleanup process will not be easy.
There's no magic.
Wait, what is this? Obama 2?
The impacts of this storm will be felt for some time, and the recovery effort will last 4 weeks or longer.
First of all, he said last. Second of all, I don't know that you can say the impacts will be felt for a long time. I think there's just impact.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. Hey, the picture of Eric Foote, underwear guy, just posted. What the hell is wrong with him?
He looks like a guy who would be standing outside a grocery store on Interstate with a T-shirt on his head and just wearing his underpants. He looks like that guy.
Seriously.
He's living that life.
And he's just, you know, but he's the kind of guy that, you know what he looks like? He looks like a real life rendering of one of those guys on The Simpsons that would look like a hayseed, but then would say something impossibly sort of florid when he, you know, like, Snuffy never anticipated that his life would transmogrify into such a situation. Or, you know, or why is he named Snuffy in my head?
I don't know.
Or he would say, Snuffy didn't anticipate this calamitous turn of events. Or something. I don't know. And then he's got like one, like half of his hair's all coming up like a horn on one side. But then he's got like the Mr. Twit beard.
Now, well, to be fair, before the mugshot, he did have a T-shirt wrapped around his head. So that will mess up your hair a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm sure there was some beating at some point as
well. There might have been some of that as well. So in further Hurricane Irene news, this is my personal favorite story, Hurricane Irene-related story. A Harrisburg, Pennsylvania man was killed early Sunday when a tree fell on his tent and on top of him. The 59-year-old man was part of a group who were camping. Camping during the hurricane on McLean Road off of State Route 443. He was in his tent with an unidentified female when the tree fell on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Trooper Tom Prinkerton said, this is believed to have been the cause of his death.
The fact that he was squashed underneath a tree.
Yes. The victim was discovered at 5:42 a.m. The female suffered head injuries and is at the medical center. Pinkerton said the tree remained on top of the man because the rainy, windy weather and the remote location of the incident made tree removal difficult.
Also, he was dead and it's really heavy.
And it's a hurricane.
Yeah. And plus, if a tree falls on you, the tree's staying there until they come in with a backhoe.
And then as for the death itself, Pinkerton says, this is weather-related and not believed to be suspicious.
They think that the tree was probably the cause of it.
Again, 20 people were camping.
Yeah. He may have been killed by the Wu-Tang Clan, but it was probably the tree. It's just, we don't want to jump to any conclusions. There'll be an investigation of some kind. Yeah. All right.
You just haven't looked at the news for a while.
So that's
a
guy.
You didn't know a hurricane. Or you just went, well, you know, we've been planning this camping trip for a long time. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Was the unidentified female killed as well?
No, she was just bashed in the head.
Okay, so maybe she'll have better choice of men. That was a guy who was undoubtedly trying to impress a girl by going, well, hurricane, shmurricane. Let's, baby, you know, that's nothing. That's just a little bit of wind. Let's go get your Coleman stove. We'll head on out to the woods and have some sex. And, you know, and then the squashing and the hey and the,
So a Portland man called 911 to report he just stabbed someone at a Max platform on Sunday, and then he waited for the police to come and arrest him. Officers arrived to find 32-year-old Jedediah Sterling.
Jedediah absolutely saw this calamitous turn of events coming.
He was lying on the Max tracks bleeding from a single stab wound to the neck. The suspect, 48-year-old Stacy James.
Oh, Jedediah was not the stabber.
No, he was the victim.
Was Stacy James a guy?
I believe so, yes.
Excellent.
Stacy James remained at the scene and was taken into custody. Police seized his Swiss Army knife as evidence. Sterling was transported to OHSU, where he underwent surgery and is expected to live. The stabbing occurred at the Max platform on Southwest Yamhill Street between 9th and 10th Avenues just before 11 p.m. Police have not said if the suspect and victim knew one another or what led up to the stabbing.
Well, other than the fact that they were on a Max platform, which does seem to take hold of many folks' sensibilities and sense of judgment.
People just go mad on the Max track.
But he stabbed a guy with a Swiss Army knife. I wonder if he pondered which tool to use, like if he was going to get the guy a good tweezing.
And he only stabbed him once, like just in the neck. So I'm wondering if it was one of those just shut up and leave me alone and just kind of things. Because God knows I've wanted to do that.
Maybe like he's been waiting his whole life to do it and he thought, like, if I do it real quick, like, with a sharp blade, he won't notice. And then I'll have satisfied my curiosity and I probably won't get it. And then
he realized how awful it was. The guy was lying on the tracks bleeding. Well, I guess I better call 911 on myself now.
It was a Swiss Army knife. Maybe he meant to give him a good spooning.
Yeah.
You know, like he was just going to give him like a...
He was attempting to hand him the corkscrew.
Yeah.
So he could open a fine bottle of wine. For example, and he just kind of his arm jerked a little bit.
Or the hey, did you ever see the Swiss Army knife that comes with a toothpick?
I have one of those.
Really?
Yeah.
It has like a little plasticky toothpick thing. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I
don't know why.
My Swiss Army knife has a toothpick and tweezers.
That's the thing that I think of the most is the toothpick. That's the thing that's most impressive to me of all of those things.
It also has tiny little scissors, which I have never used for anything because they're practically useless.
No.
I guess if I have to catch fish because I'm trapped in the woods, perhaps I could cut a fishing line with that. But anything else, it's kind of useless.
I'm going to give you even odds right now that Stacy James is also the name of a porn star. I mean, I don't know that it is.
Sounds like it.
But I would guarantee you that if you look for a blonde chick who's a porn star named Stacy James, you'll find one. Here is Don Taylor talking more of that news from the desk of SAME.
Former Secretary of State Colin Powell accuses former Vice President Dick Cheney of taking cheap shots while promoting his new book. On CBS's Face the Nation, Powell dismissed Cheney's suggestion that he wasn't forthcoming with advice to President Bush.
He says that I went out of my way not to present my positions to the president, but to take them outside of the administration. That's nonsense. The president knows that I told him what I thought about every issue of the day.
Somebody had some dental work done, or he's drunk.
Powell accused Cheney of taking cheap shots.
Several of the ones he tosses at me, you know, he takes great credit for my resignation in 2004. Well, President Bush and I had always agreed that I would leave at the end of 2004.
Why would anybody be surprised that Dick Cheney would be taking cheap? I'd be disappointed if he didn't take cheap shots. That seems to be what he. Of course, he takes cheap shots. He's evil. I mean, honestly, I mean, I don't even think that would register as news at this point. And in fact, if you knew the guy or spent any amount of time working with him, it seems like you would just sort of... Like, if he didn't, you'd suspect that he'd been replaced, like, Dave style with some sort of a duplicate or whatever.
And I suppose... And you got to figure, if Cheney is like, being bitchy about Powell talking to other people instead of Bush about stuff, what he means is, instead of me, Dick Cheney. You know, the guy who was actually, you know, had a brain and could think of stuff.
I mean, Dick Cheney just strikes me as the kind of the guy who, like... You know, has no compunction about just, well, I'm just going to wait outside your house in the weeds with a pipe, and then I'm going to hit you in the knee when you leave to get the morning paper. Why? Well, for no real reason. I just don't like it. You know, and just that's just what he does. I mean, he goes right to the...
Does he have grandchildren? They must be terrified of him.
Well, he's probably one of those...
the scariest grandpa ever.
He might be one of those guys like Mike on Breaking Bad, who's like really charming and a great family man, but then just, you know...
I don't think so, because even when Dick Cheney smiles or laughs, he is terrifying.
Well, it's like he's not... He doesn't use those muscles very often, I don't think. I think that he's just there. Dick Cheney is there to blaze the lowest of roads, you know, for all of us. Yeah. So, anyway. Ugh.
A car struck several people in Salem on Sunday night during what police think began as a custody battle. An argument escalated into a physical confrontation involving family members, according to Lieutenant Dave Okeda of the Salem Police Bureau. Then a driver, identified as Charva Monette, 19, was trying to get away from the situation when the people were struck by her vehicle. Lieutenant Okeda said a total of 6 people were injured. He said 2 adults were transported to an area hospital with injuries that were not life-threatening, and 4 others suffered cuts and scrapes. Witnesses described hearing a boom and then seeing people fighting at the Orchard Park Apartments on Casey Circle Northeast. One witness said, "When I ran out, the car was still moving a little bit. I saw them pull out a little child, and there were 2 people lying on the ground." The investigation continues, and no arrests have been made at this time.
Sounds like they did get custody of the car's grill, though. Hey! Hey, all right.
Oh, I'm so glad we have that sound effect.
Okay.
Yeah, we need that. A grave digger could face criminal charges after being fired in Mesa County, Colorado, when video surfaced showed him dancing on a grave. Christopher Redd was fired from his job as a grave digger in Mesa County after playing a shovel like a guitar while dancing on an empty burial vault.
It was empty? It wasn't even like Ronnie James Dio's grave?
No, but it's in it. Redd, 27, of Clifton, Colorado, said it was part of an attempt to win tickets for a rock music festival.
Oh, God.
He said the taping happened before a funeral service was held at the site and that no remains were in the grave.
Where is this?
Colorado.
All right.
The Mesa County Sheriff's Department is investigating the incident. Redd said the performance was approved by a superior. The charge in the case that might be pursued is a misdemeanor of desecration of venerated objects.
Well, but if there's nobody in it,
no.
It doesn't seem like it's venerated yet. It's just sort of there. It's just sort of a box.
And he was trying to win tickets in a wacky radio stunt.
Did he at least win?
It doesn't say. I'm thinking maybe no.
The radio station ought to just, you know, they're not going to pay his bail or whatever. They ought to at least give him the fog hat tickets or whatever it is he was attempting to. Now I have to know. It's like, I want to know if the video got completed and posted somewhere, if it can be viewed.
Yes, we'll have to search. We'll put this aside and we'll look at this for the next hour. I'll have to find out more.
Zany radio host, where would we be without ye?
A phishing scam that has already hit victims across the country is now happening in the Portland area. Customers have been receiving calls from scammers claiming that the bank lost their personal information. These are apparently people claiming to be from Wells Fargo Bank. Wells Fargo spokesman Tom Unger said Saturday, "We've been informed by a number of our customers in the last 2 days that they have received automated calls asking them for personal identification information. These calls are fraudulent and customers should ignore them." Unger said the scam affects people at random. Callers usually pretend to be representatives from banks with large customer bases, such as Wells Fargo, to increase their chances of actually reaching Wells Fargo customers. Any suspicious requests for personal information should be verified, and customers should use a legitimate source to confirm the request by calling the number listed on their bank's website, billing statement, or the back of their bank or debit or credit card. And also, you should never share your mother's maiden name, social security number, bank account numbers, or passwords with anyone.
Yeah, the mother's maiden name thing is just stupid. I mean, it's not like that information's hard to find.
No.
I don't know why we're still using that. That seems like a woefully outdated way to confirm that you are who you say you are.
Really not. I don't know.
It is like a matter of public record. I think anybody can go look up your mother's maiden name.
Probably.
So, yeah, that just, that seems dumb. That seems like one of those things we're just... That's one of the things we've just clung to because we're just too lazy to come up. Like how we cling to the stupid CAPTCHA thing. which is retarded and that everyone hates, as opposed to coming up with something else.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I have nothing to say. Although, it seems that the Social Security numbers aren't that hard to find either, it would seem to me.
No, and there's the Social Security, especially because you're supposed to, because you have to have it for everything now. And so you enter it on like 1,000 websites a day, and you have to write it down on like job applications and crap. And even though it's not supposed to be used to identify you, it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all very, I don't even understand what the Social Security number is there for.
Well, it's basically to identify you in the Social Security system, but then they figured at some point, a bunch of people figured out, since every single person has a different specific number just for them, yes, you could use it for different things. When you get a job, you use it when you get a job, because that way your Social Security benefits are getting paid out of your payroll stuff. But
okay.
But you know, but yeah, it's not supposed to be used for any other kind of identification, and yet it is.
Yeah, like, in fact, I think it actually says like on the card, like not to be used for identification. And I don't think that's just the card. I think it's like the number itself. But then it is. So, all right. Well, Mark of the Beast. What are you going to do?
The health department in Marion County, Indiana, has asked for help from the public to find anyone who had contact with a rabid bat that menaced residents on the city's south side.
Oh, damn.
John Althart, public relations coordinator for the health department, asked anyone who lives in the Windsor Court Apartments just off of Madison Avenue in Indianapolis to contact them. Officials said several residents saw the bat flying close to a man who was fishing in a lake nearby. Authorities said they don't know who that man is. I think it was Dracula.
I'm confused. Well, first of all, now I know why I was bleeding on Friday. I didn't... it's all coming back to me now in a flood of repressed memories. But what are they... I don't understand.
There's apparently one rabid bat. They know there is a rabid bat in this area.
How do they know there's a rabid bat?
There have been reports of an aggressive bat acting erratically around the pond outside the apartment complex.
It's in a bar just muttering darkly to itself and ordering pint after pint of lager.
And then a dead bat was subsequently found at the complex 2 days
later. I lost my job because of Jews, you know.
A dead bat was found that they confirmed had rabies. And so they believe there is only the one rabid bat.
Well, tell me about the guy down by the river. I don't understand.
I don't know. That's just part of the story.
Oh, they think he may have been bitten.
He might have been bitten, or I don't know.
Somebody said
is that he is somehow controlling the bat, but that's probably not true.
Somebody said, like, well, down by the old creek, I saw a feller a fishing, and it seemed to be there was a bat doing some fluttering around his head parts.
Yes, because that's how they talk in Indianapolis.
And they said, well, we got to find him so we can cut off his head.
Yes.
Okay.
Before he turns into
a thing.
A rabid bat zombie. Right.
Okay.
So that's going on in Indiana.
Yeah. All right. Did I ever tell you about the time that Laura and I found a bat downtown?
No.
It was like the greatest Portland moment ever. This was like a couple years ago. So we're walking along downtown. And it was on like 3rd and like Yamhill or something. And... like by Peterson's drugstore downtown. I don't know if that's still there or not, but it was by Peterson's drugstore. We're walking along, and there's like something on the sidewalk. And, you know, I thought it was a leaf or something. And then I looked down, and it's like a bat. It was the most adorable thing. First of all, it's like a bat with an injured wing.
Oh.
And he's sort of...
That's the thing about bats. Bats are adorable.
No, they're fantastic. And so he was like walking. He wasn't like he was just laying there, you know, sort of helpless. He was just walking on the sidewalk like, duh. You know, like when you get a flat tire. And you're like, well, I guess I got to go home and get the spare and then walk back and wake up Ted. And so he's walking home, and he's sort of like, well, I guess this is it. I have to walk across the bridge. I hope there isn't a boat coming. Those lifts take forever. So he's walking down the sidewalk. Just sort of like, well, here I am with my bum wing. You know, like it was like he had a briefcase under one arm and he was coming home from Madison Avenue, you know, getting ready to take the L. And so we were like, well, it's a bat. And so we stood there and we were watching because he was making good time. And so, and then there was like another, we noticed there were some people standing next to us and there was a couple. And it was like the most charming little like punky, adorable lesbian couple. And so then there's the four of us. There's me and my wife and like the pink-haired, spiky bracelet lesbian couple. And we're all watching the bat. And then, so finally the couple says to us, well, what are you going to do? And we said, well, I don't know. We're not really sure, you know, what do you do with a bat with an injured wing? Which just sounds like some sort of a poem that I would have written in high school. And so then the girls go, well, we'll take him home, they said in unison. And they reached out and they picked him up. And then they looked at us really, really earnestly. I mean, they couldn't have been more than like 20. They looked at us like really wide-eyed and earnestly, like keen paintings. And they just said, don't worry, we'll give him a good home. And then like... And then, like, the one girl got in her cell to, like, call a friend to come pick them up while the other girl was, like, petting the bat and talking to it softly.
Aww.
And then they walked off with the bat.
That's very sweet.
I wish I'd filmed the whole thing. It was, like, a great Portland sort of deal. Yeah, so there you go.
And that bat today, Max Brum.
Exactly.
Muammar Gaddafi says he's ready to hold talks to begin a transfer of power to the rebels who have been fighting him for 6 months. Spokesman Musa Ibrahim said Gaddafi's son Saadi could lead the talks, but rebel leaders said no thank you. They really don't want to have any talks about this until Gaddafi actually surrenders. I would like to state very clearly, we don't recognize them. We are looking at them as criminals, rebel information minister Mahmoud Shammam told the Associated Press. Talking about negotiations is a daydream for what remains of the dictatorship. In recent days, evidence that pro-Gaddafi forces have committed human rights abuses during the fight for Tripoli has mounted. That's shocking. 50 badly burnt bodies were discovered in a warehouse in the south of the capital, and 200 more were found in an abandoned hospital in Tripoli's Abu Salim district. Human Rights Watch says Gaddafi forces killed at least 17 detainees in prison and says it has evidence of dozens of other arbitrary executions. According to the AP, Ibrahim claims Gaddafi is still in Libya, although he would not say where. There's reportedly a mounting humanitarian crisis in the capital where items like clean water, food, and fuel are scarce.
He's just in like a terrible apartment somewhere, just occasionally from the outside, you just see the blinds open a little bit, the Venetians and a pair of eyes appear, and then he snap close again.
Angry because he doesn't have an Xbox. At home, I had Xbox.
Oh, no, another pizza. The idea that he may have committed human rights abuses. Didn't we just, like, 5 seconds ago talk about the Lockerbie bombing?
Yeah.
Which, you know, he was sort of, he's a dictator. Like, what's the point of that if you can't have arbitrary executions? That's what you do.
Yeah, we're suddenly upset because during this whole, like, he's knocking out some last minute executions.
Seriously.
Before, you know, he's like, well, I've only got a week left. How many bodies can I burn?
That's when, as Stephen Covey would say, that's when you go to all your A items. You worry about the rocks, not the sand.
Let's do our science news.
All right, here's you. It's the highlight of everyone's day. Here's your science on the march for Monday, August 29th, 2011, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more at squireselectric.com. That is squireselectric.com, celebrating their first anniversary, by the way, as a sponsor of Science on the March. You can find them at 503-252-1609. That is a full year they've been fool enough to sponsor this section of the show.
And we love them for it.
Exactly. That is, the foolishness is endearing. It's 503-252-1609, or you can go to facebook.com/SquiresElectric. While you're there, please hit the like button if you would. And you can also go to SquiresElectric.com. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, or some confluence of the two, they can make your life easier. They are Squires Electric. Here is Don Taylor.
Adults born in the 1960s and early 1970s, dubbed Generation X, have taken cell phones to heart. More than any other generation, Gen Xers say they can't live without their cell phones, according to Amanda Warr of the University of Alabama in Birmingham.
This is a stupid study.
She reported on this at the American Sociological Association's annual meeting. Millennials, members of the generation after Generation X, cite a less strong attachment to cell phones than their immediate elders. Having grown up without cell phones, Gen Xers appreciate their home and work uses where, as millennials take cell phones for granted. Her team analyzed interviews conducted in 2006 with a national sample of respondents.
That's stupid and wrong.
Yeah.
And by wrong, I mean inaccurate. Because it seems like common sense just indicates that that's not true. Unless they're saying that millennials... Because do you know anybody under the age of 25 that doesn't have their phone on them at all time? I mean, that's anecdotal. But unless they're saying that it's somehow been supplanted by, like, tablet computing or something, but that also seems unlikely.
I don't know. I think maybe there's just some difference in wording here. Because I think that possibly folks of the age of you and I may love our phones more because we think about them more. We're more aware of the fact that we didn't used to have this amazing thing.
We had to wait for the ice wagon.
Yeah, whereas those that are a little bit younger than us just go, yeah, phone, whatever. I think that's kind of what they mean, but they're stating it wrong.
Maybe it's just the people who are 25 have better things to do than to talk to survey takers.
There's that too.
Whereas we're all old and just stay at home,
yes,
waiting for someone to come by and talk to us.
And then we will just, as we've evidenced on this show, we will talk for a half an hour about our phone.
Oh, please stay.
Relatively short-legged Neanderthals couldn't keep up with longer-limbed modern humans on flat ground, but the race evened out and possibly changed leaders in the hilly and mountainous areas favored by Neanderthals. Computer simulations run by graduate student Ryan Higgins and biological anthropologist Christopher Ruff, both of Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, indicate that Neanderthals matched modern humans stride for stride on uphill slopes. Short lower legs like those of the Neanderthals characterize mountain gazelles and other animals adapted to rugged steep terrains, according to the researchers. So I don't know what any of that means, but that happened.
Hooray.
One of the world's rarest crocodile species has moved a little bit further from extinction with the hatching of 20 wild eggs plucked from a nest found in southern Laos. Experts believe there could be as few as 300 Siamese crocodiles remaining in the world's swamps, forests, and rivers. So the discovery of a nest, the first ever found in a mountainous jungle-clad country since 2008, is a significant step in the rehabilitation of a species that was declared extinct in the wild in 1992.
Why don't we consider it good news that we're just finding surprise nests of meat-eating dinosaurs?
I don't know.
That's a surprise you don't want.
It's good news for crocodiles.
Well, I guess. It seems like it's a zero-sum game. It seems like the more crocodiles there are, the fewer of us there will eventually be.
Under the soft red light of an incubator, the 20 baby crocodiles tapped and cracked their way into the world last week. Their nest was found in the southern province of Savanakhet in June by a team of villagers trained by the Wildlife Conservation Society. Chris Hallam, who coordinates the crocodile project, says, "The feeling was one of elation. When you look at the global population and the population in Laos, it represents quite a significant number of individual crocodiles."
Uh-huh. Okay.
So the crocs were hatched at the Laos Zoo, just outside something I can't pronounce, where they were moved to protect them from predators such as snakes and monitor lizards. The crocodiles will be raised in captivity for 18 months before being released back into the wild. Villagers also recently found another nest with 20 eggs inside. Because those crocs are so near to hatching, they decided to leave them where they were. By the way, the Siamese crocodile grows up to 10 feet in length, but is generally docile.
We just have the most arbitrary and, capricious and often mutually exclusive application of the Prime Directive that I have ever... I mean, like, sometimes we, you know, we'll step in, sometimes we don't, sometimes we protect things from monitor lizards, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we raise things that will kill us. Sometimes we don't.
Sometimes we make documentaries where we just throw mice in front of cougars to film them, eating them in their natural habitat.
It's like we just roll like a D20 every time, you know. Ooh, should we interfere with what nature has planned for this beast? Oh, yes, let's kill all of them, you know.
Oh, no, we're almost out of crocodiles.
Seriously.
We should save them.
God damn.
Yeah. NASA may need to temporarily abandon the International Space Station this fall because of safety concerns about the Russian spacecraft that shuttles astronauts to the station. NASA Space Station Program Manager Mike Sefardini said, "We're going to do what's safest for the crew and the space station." The announcement follows a decision by Russian space agency Roscosmos to push back a planned manned mission to the station late last month as experts continue to investigate what caused an unmanned Russian supply ship to crash last week shortly after launch. The part of the Soyuz rocket that failed during the incident is similar to the ones used to launch the manned crafts. NASA said no official decision has been made, but their safety concerns will need to be allayed soon in order to prevent a temporary decrewing of the station in late November when the final members of the station's current six-man crew are set to return to Earth. Years of running either from or running after animals has left its mark in the human brain. Even just looking at a photo of an animal jolts our brains into actions. Apparently, according to research in the latest issue of Nature Neuroscience, no matter how high-tech or urban we become, animals continue to affect our brains like no other person, place, or thing. Co-author Ralph Adolphs explained that it's important for the brain to be able to rapidly detect animals. The reasons for this are probably several, but would likely include the need to avoid predators and to catch prey. These abilities are at once critically important to survival and yet very difficult to do. Both predator and prey detection requires fast, real-time detection of shapes that are often camouflaged in a cluttered environment. Adolphs was a project leader, and his colleagues recorded how the brains of 41 neurosurgical patients undergoing epilepsy monitoring responded to images of people, landmarks, animals, or objects. During 111 experimental sessions, the researchers monitored the subject's brain activity as they sat in bed, viewing about 100 images per session. The monitoring was very precise, showing how individual neurons reacted.
I like the idea that you're in the hospital because you just keep having seizures, and then they got you in bed, and then suddenly they're showing you pictures of huge snakes.
Do you mind if we just show you random pictures of buildings and food and snakes?
Look over here, and then there's like a picture of a spider like 100 feet
high.
And
you're like, I'm just laying in the hospital. I got nothing better to do, sure.
Okay, we're just going to have you look at some images of the worst thing you've ever seen.
Well, the scientists found that the neurons in the brain that responded preferentially to pictures of animals, whether they were of cute little animals or threatening giant animals, basically that particular section of the brain has previously been implicated in the processing both of stimuli that are aversive and of stimuli that are rewarding. Basically, during our evolutionary past, animals could have represented either predator or prey, and so, therefore, our brain developed this big, huge section where it, all the neurons light up, basically, when we see animals, even pictures of animals.
All right, so it's a thing we can wear or a thing that, you know, that we should run from.
And this may explain the popularity of adorable cat pictures on the internet.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And finally, just as an unusually large hurricane is bearing down on the East Coast, Al Gore is upping the ante in the global warming debate. In an interview with Fearless Revolution founder Alex Boguski on Friday, Gore tackled topics like eating less meat, the challenges of industrial agriculture, and the dubious nature of mountaintop mining.
What is Fearless Revolution?
I believe that's...
Is it like an extreme soda of some kind or a clothing line?
I
have no idea what that is.
I don't know what it is, but the guy interviewed Al Gore.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's a website?
I don't know.
A blog? I don't know.
I imagine it being run by some guy that looks like a skinny Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Who started it to get laid in college.
And he wears like vegan t-shirts.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I'm sorry. So Al Gore was talking about
right.
what?
So Politico reports that he also offered up some advice to environmentalists when engaging in debate with climate change skeptics. Gore said those who believed the issue was a serious one needed to win the conversation by directly challenging naysayers, just as civil rights activists did in the face of racism. Gore said, "There came a time when people said, 'Hey man, why do you talk that way? That's wrong. I don't go for that, so don't talk that way around me. I just don't believe that.' That happened in millions of conversations, and slowly the conversation was won. And we still have racism, God knows, but it's so much different now and so much better. So now we have to win the conversation on climate."
So really, Al Gore's suggestion, his strategy for winning the debate, so-called, on climate change, is just to encourage people who disagree with him to not talk that way.
Right.
Okay.
"Hey, man, I don't need to hear your anti-climate change talk in my house, okay?"
Because that's really what Lincoln and Douglas had in mind when they were doing debating. The
yeah.
idea that if somebody disagreed with you, they should just keep it to themselves.
Exactly.
All right. So, duly noted. If I have contrary thoughts, I just won't voice them publicly.
At least
it's
not
wrong.
To Al Gore.
That's right. Because
he'll say, "Hey, man."
"Hey, man."
And nobody wants to hear Al Gore start a sentence with, "Hey, man."
"Hey, man, can we rap for a second? Can I just bring the room down?" All right.
That's all the science.
Well, there you go. There's your Science on the March for Monday, August 29th, 2011. Brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/Squires Electric. Now, I can't think of what it was, but there was a commercial that ran. It's one of those things that Sarah would probably know. I don't, unfortunately. It was on either Entercom or CBS Radio, one of the two. And it was a. It was for... I think 1-800-DIVORCE, maybe. It was for one of those, like, you know, don't let your bitch wife take all your crap,
oh,
dude.
Yeah.
But it was one of those spots that ran during the Tom Likas show, like, you know, like every 5 minutes.
the angry man divorce lawyer.
It was, "Hey, angry white guy, keep all your stuff. That whore doesn't deserve anything." You know, one of those, whatever. Which, you know, hey, fine. You know, angry dudes, you know, they got money too. But it was like this wraparound. It was what they call a donut, where it was like an opening jingle and a closing jingle, and then the guy would talk to you in the middle. And all I remember is the wraparound was like a blues song, where it was like a, you know, "Woke up this morning, my wife took all my stuff," or whatever. Because, you know, and then like the middle, the spoken part of the spot, where they would like give you the straight dope and everything. The middle part of the spot started off with this guy going, "Hey man." And it was, and for some reason, it was like the worst, most wooden delivery of that. And so that became like a little meme around the studio that we would just constantly start our conversations with, "Hey, man, I think I have a copy of that spot somewhere. I'll have to find it."
Okay.
All right. I'm almost positive it was the 1-800-DIVORCE guys. Here's Don Taylor.
Police in Austria have arrested a man suspected of imprisoning and sexually abusing his two daughters in his village home for over 40 years. The man, now 80, denies the abuse, which allegedly began when one girl was age 12 and the other 4. Police say the case was reported in May when the daughters escaped after one reportedly knocked over her father as he tried to rape her. He is, you know, 80 now, so I guess finally she was able to knock him over. Now aged 53 and 45, they were both found to have mental deficiencies.
No.
Austria's Die Presse newspaper said there are echoes of another Austrian case, that of Joseph Fritzl, who is serving a life sentence for imprisoning and raping his daughter, fathering 7 children with her. There was no mention of any children being fathered in this new case. A social worker found the alleged abuser, who had been lying on the floor for 2 days after having been incapacitated by the fall.
A social worker?
Yeah.
Sounds like they were really doing their job, you know, like
yeah.
the last 40 years.
He received hospital treatment, but is said to be mentally alert. And on Thursday, he was arrested and moved from a nursing home to a prison. He's suspected of imprisoning, beating and sexually abusing his daughters in the village of St. Peter Amhart near the North Austrian town of Braunau. Police believed he repeatedly threatened to kill them with a pitchfork and a stick. The women were apparently allowed limited contact with the outside world, but intimidated into not speaking about their alleged ordeal. They were kept in the kitchen and made to sleep on a bench. They are now receiving help from authorities. The mother of the house, who died 3 years ago, was allegedly also abused. Residents of the neighborhood spoke of their shock and saying, you know, it's appalling a person could do such a thing. Well, yeah. But
I always just wonder, like,
what the hell is wrong with Austrian people?
You have to get, like, a guy to build your dungeon for you in most cases. Like, I can't imagine most people have the skill to do it. I couldn't do it.
No.
I mean, who do you get to build, like, your basement dungeon? And what do you, I mean, you have to pay that guy off, I would imagine, then, like, forever. So he's not just ratting you out to the man or whatever. So I wonder where these guys all get their basement prisons.
I know the serial killer guy that whose name escapes me at the moment. They talked about in Devil in the White City, where he had this whole crematorium dungeon thing in the bottom to, like, deal with all of the bodies of the people he's knocking out. And he built it very slowly over a period of time, and he just kept hiring different workers to come in and
to do part of
do
it.
Smaller, different part of it. And told he was, like, going to be making pottery and stuff.
I see.
That kind of thing.
It's like working at Lockheed. It's like working at JPL, where you just, what do? I put bolts in boxes.
Yeah.
Nobody sees the entire picture. It's like working on the Manhattan Project.
It's like the formula for Coca-Cola. Right. No one has all of the parts.
Oh, fair enough. Yes, somebody says, this is why humans live in cities. True enough. I mean, it's not like these things don't happen in cities, but really, the further away you get from where there's concrete and fluorescent lights, the more likely it is that you're going to be kept in a guy's basement and he's going to pitchfork you.
Well, I haven't talked to, like, Sarah Dillon yet, but they were running the Hood to Coast this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
And part of her her leg of it was going to be, like, in the middle of the night. Like
through woods,
through farmland or something. Yeah. And so I just told her flat out, I said, you know, if you get a leg cramp or something and you see, like, a lonely farmhouse with one leg, just don't go there. Because that's how people get, like, carved
Seriously.
Up and made into sausages.
Mister, can I use your phone? Sure. Come on in.
You know, if you're anywhere near St. Helens and or Scappoose and the only civilization you see is just one farmhouse, don't go there at 3 a.m. because it'll turn out ugly for you.
Just lick the backs of your knees. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
An Indiana soldier seriously wounded in Afghanistan has been arrested on the eve of his homecoming parade in connection with a shooting. Eric S. Brahman, 24, fired two shots during an argument Saturday with a 31-year-old man, Andrew Struder, injuring him either by a bullet or by debris kicked up by the shots. The wound was minor, and Struder refused medical treatment at the scene. Brahman turned himself in earlier to face preliminary charges of criminal recklessness with a deadly weapon and possession of a handgun without a permit. A homecoming parade to honor Brahman, scheduled for Sunday in downtown Lafayette, Indiana, was canceled.
Yeah, you can only settle arguments that way in some places.
Yeah.
Certain contexts.
Yeah, Brahman was injured a year ago today in Afghanistan when the U.S. military vehicle he was riding in was struck by a rocket-propelled grenade fired by Taliban forces. The attack injured members of the unit and fatally injured two, including a close friend of his. He returned to Lafayette earlier this month after 11 months in Walter Reed Medical Center. He lost part of his leg as a result of the attack and now uses a prosthetic limb. And yeah, he was going to have a whole parade for him and everything, but then just decided to shoot at a guy.
Well, I might be kind of twitchy, too. I mean, let's be honest. You might be cranky at the world if you've been sent to, you know, Afghanistan to be blown into pieces.
I think you'd at least wait until after your parade.
Seriously. Because they're probably going to do that thing where they give you the key to the city and you get a discount on a car.
Yeah.
There
would probably have been free beer and all kinds of things.
We should mention, coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program, today, Clown Watch, Cannibal Watch, and Corpse Watch. Really? All three of those. Man, it's like a creepy trifecta. The Corpse Watch, the Cannibal Watch.
The three C's.
Clown Watch. Also, Mr. Aaron Duran from geekinthecity.com. We'll have the Weekend Geek and Ryan White from the Oregonian. Music editor Ryan White will be in the studio with us. Plus, we'll have a recap of last night's episode of Breaking Bad. That is all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com, where you can be amused for the... where you can listen, at least. I guess the amusement is partially up to us. But
people swear they're amused by it. People tell me all the time they find it amusing. I don't know why, but they do.
I guess, you know, here's the thing. Like, once you figure out whether or not you're going to... Like, we've already got your money, whether you're amused or not at that point. Even if you're only mildly irritated. It's like you have to pay the same to be annoyed as to laugh. So it works out pretty much the same for us.
Yeah.
But hopefully you're amused that for 32 cents a day, or you know, slightly more than that for more than one day, I guess. Anyway, you can find out more at rickemersonshow.com. It'll all make sense there when somebody else explains
hard.
It. Yeah.
At least one oil industry observer doesn't think Hurricane Irene will cause gasoline prices to go up much at all. Our good friend Trilby Lundberg of the Lundberg Survey says supplies of gasoline are plentiful and demand actually went down because of Irene.
There has not been any long-term damage from Irene at the refinery level. On the contrary, Irene is hurting demand because people cannot be mobile.
She kind of has that Butch Mary Madeline thing going on when she talks.
Lundberg says right up until the arrival of Irene, gasoline prices have held steady the past 2 weeks.
In the past 2 weeks, we actually have a no change in the retail price of gasoline. Regular grade is $3.61. And in the crude oil market, neither one of those changed from their August 12 position to their August 26 position.
She's the voice that, like, when you call up and you get a recording somewhere and they're talking about, like, the school menu for that day, or, like, you know, whether or not chains are advised on Snoqualmie Pass.
I'm concerned about Trilby Lundberg. I think maybe she's had some dental work recently or something. She's a little sloppy. She's got kind of that maybe she has a loose molar or something.
Drinking with Colin Powell.
Lundberg says the East Coast oil refineries evidently were not damaged. And gasoline demand actually dropped as people hunkered down to wait out the storm.
We have declining demand, and now Irene has kicked demand.
We have what demand?
Declining. We have declining demand, and now Irene has kicked demand down further because people can't go anywhere. And this is down pressure.
Okay.
I don't know what that means, but okay, sure. Stuff costs less.
Let's do our entertainment.
Here's your entertainment news for Monday, August 29th, 2011. Here at Legion of News on Cascadia.fm.
Matthew Fox has temporarily been detained in Cleveland after police investigated an altercation between the lost actor and a private party bus driver. Heather Borman, 29, told authorities that Fox attempted to board her vehicle outside Shooter's Bar in the Flats District of Cleveland.
Sounds classy.
When she told him he was trespassing and attempted to stop him, he allegedly struck her repeatedly in the chest and stomach. According to the police report, Borman hit back, connecting with Fox in the face and causing a cut lip. Fox was not arrested and was released to a friend. A spokesperson for the Cleveland police said in an email that officers do not have to arrest a misdemeanor charge unless they witnessed it. For a misdemeanor offense, it is up to the victim to consult with a prosecutor to press charges. Borman intends to do just that today. She said, even before the cop told me who he was, I intended to pursue this. His first punch landed on my crotch, and his second punch hit my breast. I felt violated.
How would that even work, that you're...
Well, she might have been...
Was she sideways?
Well, she might have been standing up and trying to get him not to get on the bus, and he was trying to step up into the bus, and he was punching
right into the,
up at her.
Punching right up into her crotch.
Right.
It's the worst price ever.
Singer Tom Jones was recovering in a Monaco hospital Sunday, saying severe dehydration forced him to cancel a concert in the glamorous principality. The longtime star, famed for his swivel-hipped appeal and soulful voice...
Don't say that.
...apologized to his fans on his website and emphatically denied press reports that he had suffered a heart scare that forced him to cancel his Monaco concert. There are no heart problems, as has been reported in the press, his website stated. Jones is 71 years old. Burst to international fame in 1964 with It's Not Unusual and other hits. He blamed his illness on a long, successful tour where many of the shows were in locations that were in the throes of high summer heat. The website indicated that Jones had no choice but to make a rare cancellation. The statement read, "Sir Tom was ordered by doctors not to perform in Monte Carlo yesterday evening due to severe dehydration. This was extremely disappointing for Tom, the band, and all connected with the tour."
Is he really Sir Tom? Is he a knight?
Yeah, he's been knighted.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That means he can battle you with a sword if he wants. Beyoncé and Jay-Z's offspring don't have a name yet, but it was an indisputable breakout star of Sunday's MTV Video Music Awards. Yeah, apparently Beyoncé did a number and then pulled off her loose-fitting outfit and rubbed her tummy to show that she was ingesting.
I guess that should be cute or something.
It wasn't. I saw it on TV this morning, and it was kind of horrible. She actually looked like she'd just eaten a big meal, is what happened. She threw everything on, ooh, look, and started rubbing her belly like, I just had pizza. But it was like, oh, okay, she's pregnant.
It's not like chicks who have kids can't be hot. And I've said before that in a sort of an odd way, like really pregnant chicks, I guess, are kind of hot in a strange way. But what's not hot is chicks who are just kind of pregnant. Like, if you're just 3 months pregnant, not hot. Mm. If you're 8 months pregnant, almost hot again in a bizarre way that I guess is maybe pre-programmed, like genetically into us or something.
Like, but ooh, like, she's fertile.
Yeah, I guess, maybe. But like two and a half months, pregnant, just weird looking and off-putting.
Britney Spears captured the night's first award for Best Pop Video and later was honored with an MTV Video Vanguard Award for her visual legacy. Lady Gaga, well, let's go. Katy Perry got the MTV.
Were you just skipping over stuff there?
I've got like way too much about this and no one really cares that much. So the MTV Video of the Year Award went to Katy Perry for Firework.
Kill me.
And I'm very, very proud of this because I'm very proud for the song that it stands for, which is Firework, and I feel like I am doing something right when I sing that song.
Shut up.
Yeah, okay.
Seriously, die.
Lady Gaga came in drag.
But can we just talk a bit more about Katy Perry for just a second, sure, as much as I don't want to? That's the worst song.
I don't think I've heard it, but
I would sing it for you now, but it's like then the goddamn hook would just get stuck in my head, for the rest of the day. It's a horrible song, and I know that I guess it was successful. I mean, it was written well enough to be a pop hit. But even in terms of pop hits, it's not even that the song itself is bad, though it is. It's because I can respect a well written pop song, a well written hook. It's not even that the song is bad. It's that, like, even with all of the vast Lil Wayne esque technology, the T-Pain technology at our disposal, it's her performance of it that's terrible.
She's really, really unimpressive.
And she's doing that Melissa Etheridge thing where the entire song is sung like it's a crescendo. It's like she's peaking from the very, very first note of the song. She's just bellowing the entire thing, and you can hear it straining at like the upper register of her voice. And it's like, with all of the studio wizardry, they still couldn't make it sound like it was comfortably within her range. It still sounds like her throat is about to come apart. She's trying to sing the song so loud and so hard, and again at the extent of her register. The only good thing about Katy Perry at this point is that she then was in that video with Kanye, that E.T. video, which is like so unbelievably bad that it becomes like Spinal Tap good. She's so bland, though, and I also don't get the thing of her being like apparently really hot. I mean, it's not like she's ugly, but I don't get the thing of her being like a big sex bomb.
No,
that doesn't work for me either.
I don't know.
There's nothing interesting about her.
About the MTV Video Awards, though, I did want to, I didn't watch it, but looking at the news about it this morning, I do want to express my appreciation to Jay-Z, who apparently, when Chris Brown was performing, everybody like stood up and cheered and went crazy for him, except for Jay-Z, who, of course, discovered Rihanna and is still close with her, who just stayed sitting in his chair, just staring glumly off into space.
Awesome. Good for him.
Refused to even clap. It was just...
Well done.
Awesome for him.
Good for you, Jay-Z.
Yay. Lady Gaga apparently came dressed in drag. I guess she has some...
Isn't that redundant?
Well, it says she dressed as her alter ego, Joe Calderon.
Oh, God.
So she's got like a drag character.
Are we already at this point where she's creating alter egos?
We've
gone to this now?
And so anyways, that's how she was dressed, I guess. And she accepted the Best Female Video Award for Born This Way.
You know, the alter ego thing is, it's not like it can't be interesting. I mean, I alone, among like everyone on planet Earth, I have spoken admiringly of the Chris Gaines thing that Garth Brooks tried to do. I even found the whole Marshall Mathers, Eminem, Slim Shady thing kind of interesting, because that's an alter ego of an alter ego. So that's kind of intriguing, the idea that like Eminem was an alter ego of Marshall Mathers, and then like Eminem had his own. Have we heard in the past that she has an alter ego, or did that just come out?
I never heard of this before, but I don't really follow Lady Gaga very closely, so
okay.
I don't know.
All right.
So anyway, so this is, I guess, start talking.
Doesn't matter who you are.
No, we're done.
Okay, that's good.
Nope.
Also, there was a tribute to Amy Winehouse.
Really?
Yeah.
We just get it. Laura and I got in the car to go somewhere yesterday, and I forget we were going. We got in the car, and it was, she was on, I don't know, I guess it must have been KNRK or whatever we call that station now. But we got in and it was, And it was like, we heard like 3 seconds of an Amy Winehouse song, and she was just like, nope, and just hit the thing. Because we're already at that point where we're going to have to wait like a year to listen to her music, because you know that it's going to be bracketed by some jagoff DJ giving you some fake, like, you know, a star taken too soon. So, like, I just can't stand the treacle crap there. So, no. All right. Is that the end of that?
Yeah, that's the end of that.
All right, there you go. There's your entertainment news. For whatever the hell day this is Monday, August 29th, 2011. That is Monday, August 29th, 2011. Rick Emerson radio program coming up next hour, by the way, at rickemersonshow.com.
A woman and her granddaughter suffered serious injuries after being thrown from a fairground ride in Britain. The 58-year-old woman and her four-year-old girl were flipped from the Jungle River log flume on the seafront in Bridlington, East Yorkshire. Medics from the Yorkshire Air Ambulance airlifted the woman to hospital following the incident, which is thought to have occurred when the log flume jammed. It is the second serious accident at a fairground in less than a week. Crowds looked on in horror at the accident.
Where is this?
This is in England.
Okay.
Crowds looked on in horror at the accident at 3:28 p.m. on Sunday. Witnesses described seeing the ride jam on its rails, then restart, flipping the pair from the log.
That's so great.
An investigation has been launched. Councillor Cyril Marsberg, the mayor of Bridlington, said the lady and her granddaughter were on the log flume water splash. It came down and there was no water there. It hit the bottom and they were both thrown out.
I love things that cause, well, we were talking about this on Friday, but anytime that spectators look on in horror, like at anything, I think it's fantastic.
The pair were visiting the resort from South Yorkshire. The woman was taken to the infirmary and later transferred to Castle Hill Hospital. Police said neither victim suffered life-threatening injuries. It's very rare for these things to happen. This is the first one I can recall. The Coast Guard helicopter guy said they got a call from the ambulance control who needed help. It was very crowded, and more people were being attracted to the scene after the incident, which was making it incredibly difficult for the air ambulance to get anywhere near.
Well, sure, because then it becomes like a ride and a display.
This follows an incident last Tuesday, by the way, when a 12-year-old schoolboy fell from a ride and was seriously injured at Camelot Theme Park in Chorley, Lancashire.
It's a ride slash exhibit. Someone says, Beyonce slept with Jay-Z. That baby is going to look like a Vogon. Wow. Awesome.
Okay. Authorities say a man's leg was crushed in a machine at a Pepsi-Cola plant in Tampa. Employees called 911 around 11:30 a.m. Sunday, saying a man was trapped in a conveyor rail system at a plant near the University of Florida. The St. Petersburg Times reports this was the third major casualty at the plant in 6 months. Officials say the 39-year-old man was cleaning the system when co-workers heard him scream. It took members of Tampa Fire Rescue's heavy equipment team almost 90 minutes to free the man from the machinery. He was taken to Tampa General Hospital with what rescuers described as life-threatening injuries. The newspaper reported a man was killed and another injured in March when a lift at the Pepsi-Cola plant failed in their warehouse.
I wonder who the guy is that has to go, like, take the workplace safety record, like, put it back to zero. Like, we have gone zero days without an accident.
Not again. You don't think Pepsi would be such coal mining. Okay, there's a certain amount of risk involved in that.
Soda plant, not so much.
You're working at the asbestos factory. You know, sure. But, I work at the Pepsi bottling plant.
Just making sugar water. How dangerous can that really be?
Yeah.
Yes. We've got 1 minute and 9 seconds.
Let's do this. A man wearing a long-sleeve shirt and nothing else while carrying a mop and bucket Wednesday was arrested for exposing himself. The man told police he was trying to water plants and check the electrical meters. Witnesses called the Gainesville Police Department after they spotted the man walking around outside his apartment building without his pants, but carrying a mop and bucket. One witness told police the man began to chase her and her 11-year-old child, then told the woman, "If you can get the mop to work right, I will cook you a steak dinner."
Wait, what? Who said that to the man?
The man said that to this woman that ostensibly he was chasing.
The mop wasn't working.
Apparently the mop wasn't working.
Okay.
He said, "If you can get the mop to work right, I will cook you a steak dinner."
Okay.
And he had no pants on.
Well, no, of course not.
Following his arrest for indecent exposure, the man told Officer Christopher King that in addition to watering plants, he had been checking electrical meters for himself and his neighbors.
Okay, there we go.
So he's just trying to be helpful.
And trying to get his mop correct.
Right.
And
making a lovely offer of cooking dinner for someone.
You know, and there's many people who would consider, you know, they would, many people have been waiting for somebody to come make dinner for them. They would, they'd pay for that. And then he's just offering to do in exchange for a little help.
So the guy had no pants on. Right. I mean, really.
Look, at some, you know, at some point
Weather's
during the day,
hot.
Many of us don't have pants on, given, you know, depending on when it is that you, when it is that you come to talk to us.
I had no pants on, at least at one point this morning.
That's right. Okay. We should just end things right there. And there you go. And with that, we bring down the curtain on another exciting episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa, and so forth. As always, this program available later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at LegionofNews.com. You can also get it on your mobile device at mobile.cascadia.fm. We'll see you next hour at rickemersonshow.com for the Rick Emerson Radio Program, and we'll see you tomorrow at noon for another episode of Legion of News. Until then, have a safe and satisfying Monday, won't you?